Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's happening. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Chad, as we look around the studio,
finally.
It's like a family reunion in here.
Finally, it's happening.
Hi, Mom.
Paul Kuharsky, this is your life. I've been wanting to say this for a while. And your mother, Faith Kuharsky, in studio with us. Can't wait to get to this. And Simon Kuharsky is our production assistant for the day. Simon, your thoughts on what's about to happen?
My dad's going to pee his pants.
A great preview from Simon.
Yes, yes. Paul is a little bit nervous as we say hello to your mother. Miss Faith, hello.
Hello, Jonathan, Chad.
This is quite the moment for this show. You don't know that, but you text your son from time to time, and I'm amazed that you are so well-versed on technology, because older people in my life, you know, I can't text them, but Paul's just sitting over here rattling off texts. Let me ask my mom this about a shirt idea or whatever it might be. And you're immediately getting back to him with feedback. So props.
Well, I guess I have to do it because otherwise only one of our four children lives in New Jersey.
Okay.
So in order to have contact with them, I've learned to do this. And, you know, there was a time when I just started doing computer and email, and I would print out the emails from the children. And I have to say I had four times as many from Paul as from his siblings.
Wow.
Nice job, Paul.
And I actually saved them and put them all together for his 40th birthday. And there was some really great stuff in there. But it never got to him. We tried the Nashville post office, my post office. It was never found. So we lost a lot of Paul.
You guys
are familiar with the primary complaint, by the way?
You guys know what a big fan I am of the Postal Service. You guys know what a big fan I am of the Postal Service. But I knew that something was up. She was talking to Teresa about it. I told them not to tell me because I'm sentimental and I knew it would upset me. So only gradually over time, I'm now 49. So this is 9 years ago that she sent it. Only over time did I allow for myself to realize the sentimental thing that I lost. I probably have those emails stashed somewhere in some form.
I also like to learn new things. And so learning to text and all of this was just kind of fun for me. You know, I like to try new recipes. I like to try new patterns when I knit and crochet. So this was just another kind of thing that was something new for me to learn, which helped me to keep in touch with my family.
You know,
without an occasional error. Like yesterday, she had a text message that didn't go through. She gets the red exclamation mark. She says,
any emojis used at all in the text? Or
Rarely. I know how to do it, but I just don't think it's necessary.
And also, just to clarify, what I'm hearing is that Paul has more interaction with you than your other children. Is that correct?
I would say so. Maybe because he was the baby, and he was kind of like an only child because his three siblings were already up and going to school when he was born.
How much do his siblings resent Paul for the benefits of being 7 years the youngest and getting away with more?
Getting a car.
I'm not sure. I think probably it depended, you know, as the years went by and he grew up and, you know, age no longer matters so much. But they were very upset because when he was in high school, he was able to drive. It wasn't his car, but he was able to drive our second car. But as I explained to them, it wasn't because I favored him. It was because I was very tired of driving children around.
Paul, the benefits of that. Well done.
Clearly the favorite.
So you like to learn new things. Paul likes to forget things like shaving. Do you like his beard or not?
I was going to open with that and say, let's get this out of the way right now. I do not like the beard or the unshaven look, and I vote for shave.
Now, my oldest brother, Simon, pipe down over there.
Well, when you see that.
The gray in the beard? Well, he's getting up there.
He really is.
But my oldest brother has had at least a goatee for a long time. Does he get this criticism?
Well, I don't know. Somehow it's grown with him, and he's a lot older than you are. But, you know, when Paul first started to lose his hair, when his second brother got married, he was starting to lose his hair, and Paul still had a good head full of hair.
Is this Sergey we're talking about?
Yeah, Sergey. Yeah. And so he made fun of Sergey at Sergey's wedding. You know, and then you see what happens.
That's my wedding.
But I have to tell this story that just came to me now about that. Paul was going to buy a tie, and he was starting to lose his hair. And he was looking at 598 ties, and this female clerk came up to him and said, what kind of tie are you looking for? And so he described the colors and what he wanted. And she took him into the back and showed him some ties that were like, you know, $89 and something like that. And he looked at her and he said, if I could afford that tie, don't you think I'd be using Rogaine?
Oh, that's when you were very self-conscious of that, of this issue.
No, it was just...
I found this quote, which I...
Look at Paul. Humor. Paul's already squirming about this.
He's getting so nervous.
He's like, what else is he going to remember?
Well, I had this quote that I gave to him that I thought was helpful, that God covered some heads with hair and others he left beautiful.
And Paul's taking that with him every day.
That's actually his Twitter bio now.
Paul just good.
Miss Faith Kuharski, Paul's mom, in studio with us.
We also understand that Paul, this was kind of a trial run. He did not make this shirt, but for his website, paulkuharski.com, he had a slogan that you took issue with at one point. This was very recently. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
here?
I do. I can't remember what it was, but
Fueled
I know.
Fueled by hate
the slogan, and you took exception to it. And I will say this, to Paul's credit, he came in here next day and noted, my mother was not happy with that, so he decided against it.
Very good.
You had a problem with it. Do you recall what you sent to him when you saw that?
I don't.
Why would you do that?
Why would you say something like that?
Is he more like you or your husband?
Oh, it's hard to say. I think all boys are more like their mother and girls like their father. We have one daughter, and she's very much more like her dad than she is like me, although people would say she looks like me and we have a lot in common, but I still feel like she's more like her dad. And all three of the boys, I feel, are more like I am.
Do you bite your fingernails the way Paul does?
No.
But my oldest brother does and has suffered the same consequences, breaking his teeth on his
fingers. Was this a problem when he was growing up, trying to break him of that habit?
You know, I honestly don't remember when he started to do that.
He does it when he gets nervous. He's been doing it all day today. All day today.
I do it all the time.
When do you first recall his love for Bruce Springsteen?
Not until quite late. I know Bruce came from New Jersey, and when we moved to New Jersey, Paul was only about 7, right? Yeah. And so, you know, it didn't start then, but I think he blamed Sergey for turning him on to Bruce. I only became aware of it when he started to make these ridiculously long trips to a concert. And the last time, which was very recent, you may know, when he came to New York for Springsteen on Broadway. And I could not believe that he would come to New York for that. And then he was there for a couple of days and connected back with Columbia. And so I texted him and I said, Paul, you are very spoiled and you have a very good wife. And he texted back, yes and yes.
Shortened to the point.
I know what's what. Thankfully, she was making this trip here, so that didn't turn into a New Jersey, New York vacation. I was able to have a few days.
Have to admit that in last 6 months somewhere, there was some award show on TV where Bruce was present and he did a little song.
Yeah, it was the Tony Awards.
Was it? And I don't watch them that much because I'm not familiar with most of the people on them. But I have to admit, I was impressed with Bruce. And so a little part of me said, okay, I could sort of understand why Paul does this.
Paul rings the bell. He accepts that answer.
So a year ago tomorrow, we got a tour of your former home in Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
We were there at the church next door where Paul, years, but as a baby, lived.
Right.
Good memories of that home?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They were 12 wonderful years. And Paul probably doesn't remember he spent a lot of time in the baby seat in the car because his three siblings were already in school and they were going to different schools. Two of them were in a major work program in one school. One was in another school. My husband was busy. So when I had to drive them to school, I would grab him asleep or awake, crying or not, and put him in the little car bed and drive him all around. So he spent a lot of time doing that.
Streets of Cleveland. Maybe that's why I have such an affinity for the streets of Cleveland.
Were you paid anything for his appearance in The Deer Hunter?
No.
You were glad probably to unload me for a week, right? I mean, I was in Cleveland. We already lived in New Jersey, so they shipped me off with family and friends.
Yeah, well, it was a big deal because he came back with all these autographs, you know, of Meryl Streep and people like that. And then, of course, we saw The Deer Hunter a couple of times because he was in one version but not in another.
He got edited out, I think.
Does Paul get his love of the Yankees from you?
I don't think so. I grew up in Wilkes-Barre, PA, and they had a Cleveland Indian farm club. So I was a Cleveland Indian fan before we moved to Cleveland. But then when we came to New Jersey, I don't know what turned me on to the Yankees. Maybe it was Paul, but I really became an avid Yankee fan.
She watches more than I do, I think, now.
But she just kept right on strumming my pain with her fingers.
Mom's not wearing headphones. David asked for the appropriate music, and she said Andy Williams or Perry Como. So I guess that's what we're getting.
Mrs. Faith Kuharski in studio with us. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Paul can become angry and impatient quickly.
No.
Very quickly. Where does that come from?
I'm not sure. I guess some of that could come from his dad. I have, I'm not taking the blame. No, I admit that, I mean, what do they say? Patience is a virtue, possessed if you can, seldom found in women, never found in men. But I have learned as I've grown older to be more patient. But when I was young, I was probably very impatient because I don't know, we had a busy life. There was always a lot to do, so I had no tolerance for things that weren't going well or that I felt people were incompetent. And, you know, it took them too long, and so I would be very impatient.
There it is!
How would you react to a slow clerk at a grocery store in the past?
Well, in the past, I would probably be livid, and I'd be thinking, how did you get this job? But now I stand there and I think to myself, okay, they're doing the best they can.
Paul, is that happening to you?
No, I think, are they doing the best they can? Surely they could do better than this.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Will you tell the story of the time you thought Paul had been arrested for shoplifting?
Oh, God. Yeah. My husband and I were getting ready for bed. And the phone rang, and somebody gets on the phone and says, Paul's been arrested for shoplifting up at Kmart. And Kmart was just like a mile up the road and across the highway. And I was like, in speechless. I said to my husband, this is impossible. This couldn't be happening. But we got dressed, and we were on our way to go up there to rescue him or whatever. And as we were driving up the hill from our home, I was sure I saw Paul coming home in the Toyota.
The 76 Corolla.
And sure enough, we got up to Kmart. It was dark and there wasn't a soul around. And we came back home and he was in bed. So we never found out
who the prankster was.
But it was a very terrifying moment because, you know, to think that your child that you've raised at a certain point would do something so stupid.
Yeah, and disobey. He disobeyed you by playing with matches at one point in his life. Yeah. And last night, he confessed that to you for the first time ever.
Well, Jonathan, there are many things that I have learned, or we have learned about not only Paul, about all of our children, that we didn't know at the time. It came out much, much later. So I guess I'm not too surprised.
Well, what did you think of my approach? So I got yelled at, and I was a very good altar boy. I understood matches, wicks, charcoal, all of that stuff under my dad's watchful eye. I was giving a lesson in these things in the playhouse in Danny Adler's backyard. Not a burnable playhouse, a cement structure. Mrs. Adler caught me. She told me, Paul Kuharski, you go home right now and tell your parents you played with matches. I proceeded to pick up and hang up every phone call we got for the next 3 days at home. Is that good strategy?
I guess it was, because I never found out. Mrs. Adler was nice enough never to confront me personally. And so it just passed and we didn't know.
We know that story as Paul the Arsonist. That's how we refer to that story. Do you have a love of calf muscles like Paul does? And does it run in the family?
Oh, that's funny, because I don't remember. I think his sister said that the first time we took the calf muscle picture was when we were in Duck.
On North Carolina.
A family vacation, which was, what, about 15, 16 years ago. And what I remember it all started from is that our eldest son's wife, when she saw Paul's dad and the brothers walking into the ocean, and she started getting hysterical. I said, what's wrong? She says, look how they all look alike.
All those
calves. Eight calves, all matching.
But then, of course, the sister, she would never let the boys do anything that she, you know, if they went into freezing cold water, she would follow them. So when we did calf muscles, it was the dancer's muscles versus the soccer muscles, soccer playing muscles. And then, of course, the better pictures were even of the heads, the hairlines.
Oh. I lost that one. I'm a contender in the calf muscles.
And
thing,
we had a very nice mirror framed that was in the hallway in the rectory that we lived in New Jersey. It was a huge home. And as you walked down the stairs, you could see yourself in this mirror. So we got a tradition that whenever all the children were home, we would walk down the stairs and they would look into the mirror and we would take a picture of the mirror. So we have a series of what we call mirror pictures. So our family is, you know, it's not only the calf pictures, but the hair pictures. And just every time we're together, they know, okay, guys, let's go. We know mom needs a picture. And they would always stand in chronological order. They would never take a picture out of order.
Mrs. Faith Kuharski is Paul's mother. She's in studio with us. Okay, so you know the Peter Kelman story, the Petey Kelman punching Paul in the back of the head story.
They now live closer to the Garden State Arts Center.
I heard of it, but I don't remember it at the time.
He was so embarrassed he didn't tell you. That's what happened.
Yeah. I mean, where did it happen?
At the Garden State Arts Center, at the Steve Winwood concert.
I'll see.
I don't know.
Are you surprised that he was punched?
No.
Are you surprised that he didn't punch back?
Well, he probably knew he shouldn't.
See, that was the last time I got punched in the head until recently when...
There was an assailant out here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Simon says the church got hit in the head with a football also. Yeah, intentionally? Yeah. Did someone throw that football at your head?
I don't think so. I like to think not.
It's not a church-like activity to throw a football at someone's head.
I don't remember what happened when you hurt your eye.
Yeah, I smashed my eye on my knuckle getting tackled in tackle football in a frozen yard.
Yeah, that I remember.
A concussion and my eye was filled with blood. And
were you as fond as his girlfriend Liz as he was?
I did not know Liz very well. The girlfriends that he had were minimal, and they were never...
Reed, please put that on wax.
They're minimal, in terms of me exposing them.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say, maybe like some other things, he didn't tell us about some of them.
This was not a house where you were dying to bring your girlfriend home.
Oh,
I mean, Liz lived close to school.
Mrs. Kuharski, your thoughts?
Her parents were cool about me hanging out over there, so it was easier.
How late would you stay up waiting on your son to arrive back home at night?
Ridiculous hours. I mean, I remember one time it was 2:00 in the morning and I was sitting downstairs by the fireplace reading when he came in and he was like in shock that I was there. And he says, Mom, why didn't you go to sleep? I said, why didn't you call? He said, well, if I call, I'll wake you up. I said, no, you wouldn't, because I wouldn't be sleeping.
clearly I was responsible even at this young age of sobering up before I drove home.
Well, this is like Paul not responding to us in Minneapolis this year when we were trying to get a response.
I was deathly ill. That was completely different.
Final story that I have. Is there a point where you thought that Paul was either dead or lost in Europe and you couldn't get a hold of him?
Yes, that was really devastating because it was his college gift to go backpacking with his friend Eric. And what we were supposed to do is Paul would call home, and then I would call Derek's mom, and then the next time Derek would call home, and his mom would call me. So they both weren't calling all the
time.
This
is pre-cell phones, people, 91.
Yeah, this is a while back. And so we happened to have one of his nephews with us, who was rather young, maybe Simon's age. And I got this phone call from Derek's mother saying that Paul and Derek were supposed to meet under a clock or something, and Paul didn't show up. And of course, my husband and I were, you know, very upset, and there was no way we could contact him. And then because we had Justin with us, and I had a friend who had a son that age, we had planned to go to a park that day, and I left, you know, really, really upset to go away for the day, still waiting. Learned from my husband later that right after I pulled out, you know, a phone call came that he was fine. But my husband's in the driveway waving at me, but I pulled out and missed it. So I spent that whole day, you know, like, really, where is Paul?
This was completely Derek's fault. We split up and I went to Copenhagen and he went to Berlin, and we said we'd meet in Brussels. And we said, we didn't look at the train schedule or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know what time, but we gave ourselves like a 2-hour window. Let's meet between 12 and 10, 10 and 12 in Brussels at the train platform on Wednesday. Well, I got in roughly in that time window, but he didn't have a train that got him in. But he's the one that missed the connection. And then we managed to find each other at the hostel.
You know, I have to back up a bit because when we're talking about his girlfriends, I have to say that the whole family was really, really pleased when he finally got back with Teresa because in between their breakup, there were other things going on, you know, trying to fix him up with the daughter of friends of ours, and they were seeing each other. Neither parents knew, and then all of a sudden it was over. And amongst the lost memory emails was a letter that I wish I had to give to Teresa about how devastated he was, you know, and how he was going to really do everything possible to win her back. And the whole family is just so glad that they did, because we all love Teresa and we all feel like Paul really lucked out.
He certainly did. Now, that's his second favorite moment in life, because he's also a Rutgers Prep Hall of Famer now.
Yes.
Did you ever think in that time when you would watch him at school that he would become a Hall of Famer for his athletic endeavors?
No, because he was, you know, he admitted himself he was not a good player, but he won the Spirit Award.
I loved it more than anybody.
He was a good cheerleader.
Oh, man, you're killing me. I was good. I wasn't great.
Paul, you tried really hard.
Mrs. Faith Kuharski has been our guest. Please stick around for one more segment. I want you to hear the Lanai Kukua Game of the Week.
Yeah, you'll have to put the headphones on for this.
We will explain the rules during the next segment, but you'll love it because Paul hates country music and it involves country music. So that's next.
Thanks, Mom. Love you.
Love you too.